both had been horribly mutilated.
God, these sick bastards deserve each other.
Maybe they'll wipe each other out, right down the line. Make for a cleaner world.
Rain's coming back heavier still.
Might still be stickies out in the woods. Anyone we see is an enemy. So shoot first, and we can worry about corpses afterward.
JB gathered his companions around, hunching his shoulders against the downpour.
When we get close to the camp, there could be sentries, sticky guards. Don't hesitate. Pull down on them before they do it to you. All right? Let's go get Ryan.
The explosion in the small building that held the sticky supplies of cooking and lighting oil was devastating. It turned the wet and windy night into the brightest day. The falling rain resembled a great wall of red and orange flames, spitting into the lake of mud. The liquid from the ruptured containers streamed everywhere, pouring into the kivas where it also ignited, making the circular ceremonial pits look more like blazing oil wells. The explosion was welcomed with wild cheers and whoops from the triumphant stickies, giving them extra courage to surge across and finally begin to drive out the surviving lepers.
We have to go now. If we don't, then we could get stranded in here. Won't take Charlie long to get himself reorganized and sweep the place to find us. Think he might even bring our execution time forward for us. Just try and keep close.
But the fire makes it easy for anyone to spot us. Perhaps we should be better advised to try and remain hidden.
Fine, Reverend. You stay here and wait to be crucified by the stickies. Maybe you can really enjoy that. Give you a deep and meaningful experience.
But the rest of us is going, here and now.
A dead leper lay sprawled half off the wooden bridge, one abbreviated hand trailing in the foaming water. It worried Ryan, as it looked like the man had been killed while trying to escape the camp, rather than gunned down during the attack. It could mean that some of the lepers were already out ahead of them, hiding somewhere in the dank woods. The center of the firelight was clearly away at the far end of the encampment, where the remainder of the lepers were trapped under the overhang, forced into a bloody and savage last stand. The gunfire was slowing as victims were picked off one by one. Ryan glanced behind them once more, making sure his little group was still together after the dash down the slope.
Come on, before the muticurs see us!
The rain was sheeting down in swirling banks of water, pitting the mud and turning the puddles into frothing orange lace. Ryan picked his way up the slippery steps on the other side of the ravine, marveling at their good fortune and managing to get away without any of the stickies spotting them.
You lose some, you win some, Abe.
But Abe was on his knees, the hunting rifle lying in the dirt. His face was contorted with pain, and his hands were pressed to his stomach, low on the right side.
Ow! Lose some!
Bad.
Like being kicked in the kidneys by a mule. Oh, jeez.
The screen behind them was chillingly recognizable as Charlie, being told that his choice captives were off and running. Jarman pushed by, knocking the wounded man to one side of the path.
Get out of my way!
If he hadn't been concentrating on how best to play Abe's injury, Ryan would have killed the preacher without hesitation. The tall, white-haired figure bounced away from them, quickly vanishing into the wet darkness near the old visitor center.
Oh, get going, Ryan.
Shut up, Abe.
Bad hit. Had him before. Tell you it's a bad one. Lead me.
We can carry him between us.
Won't make it very far.
Yeah.
Give me the rifle. I'll keep the bastard's heads down.
Do it.
Leave me here, Ryan. You four can make it. The rain covers up the tracks. Going. Oh, what hurts. Put one between my eyes. Come on, Ryan, for old time's sake. Be a friend, won't you?
Abe was doubled right over, one foot tapping uncontrollably in the slime. He was moaning now. Dorina leveled the stire and fired off three spaced rounds.
You get any?
Difficult to see. I think one went down. Light's near impossible.
Don't waste ammo.
Come on, man. Do it for me. I'm gonna get you all chilled. Time's ticking.
Cover us, Dorina. Harold, give me the Magnum. Get Abe on your back. Just as far as the top. Can you?
Sure. Oops, a daisy, Abe.
I said...
Christy, go with him. Watch for lepers up top, or any stickies. Hell, watch for anyone.
Ha! Got one! Clean through the head!
Harold was gone, feet splashing in the pools of water. Christy was at his heels, her Smith & Wesson 640 ready in her right hand. They could still hear Abe moaning some way above them. But now Ryan was able to focus all of his attention across the bridge, where he figured Charlie would already be trying to rally his people.
You okay, Darina?
Never better. Pay back those rapists. Only way they know. A dead man raped nobody.
They were both completely soaked, staring away toward the Anasazi houses. The campfire was extinguished by the storm, but the oil still blazed in a haze of yellow light and black smoke.
Them leper's gone.
It was a Sticky, who'd emerged from the thick brush at the side of the path where he must have been hiding, terrified, oblivious to the group of norms making their escape right by him.
Nearly squirted my shorts when I saw him. Ugly bastards.
He was short and chubby, his sunken eyes and dark skin marking him for a half-breed, the product of a Sticky mother and a Norm father. It wasn't very often the other way around. Ryan shot him through the bridge of the nose with a Sig Sauer P226. The 9mm round exited the back of the head, taking with it a piece of bone the size of a small dinner plate. Darina blinked at the muted sound, seeing the devastating effect of the single shot.
Way to go, Ryan.
It was a contained, organized withdrawal. Under fire from the rifle, Charlie had enough combat sense to realize that he couldn't chance a frontal attack. As the rain continued to pour down, the river was once more a raging, impossible torrent, meaning that the narrow exposed bridge had become the Sticky's only option. Ryan waited until he felt that Christy, Harold, and Abe had been given enough time to reach the top of the steep incline. Then he tapped Arena on her shoulder and jerked her thumb upward. She put one last round in among the shadows below them and joined Ryan, scampering agilely up the streaming steps. There was no return fire. Abe was laid on his back on a carpet of pine needles under the spread branches of an enormous tree. Rain dripped around him, but he stayed relatively dry. The first fumbling fingers of dawn were appearing in the eastern sky. In the pallid light, the wounded man's face seemed a sickly gray. He looked up as Ryan and Darina came jogging into view.
You chill some for me, lady?
One or two.
Darina was streaked with great gobbets of crimson mud, making her look as though she'd been on the losing end of a brawl in a slaughterhouse. Harold was leaning against the trunk of another big pinion, fighting for breath and trying to look casual about it.
We made it, lover. If we take turns with Abe, we can still do some reasonable time. Find some place to hole up. Rain takes out the tracks.
Any sign of the Reverend Jarman?
No, long gone. Oh, being free beats all, lover.
Well, if we want to stay that way, we'd better get moving again. Charlie won't wait forever before he sets his hounds after us.
There's some tough peaks upstream. Why not go down and have the easy running?
Well, Ryan's right, sweet thing. Sticky's gonna figure we took the soft road. Me and Ryan can manage old Abe here for a good few hours yet.
Ryan managed to conceal his grin at the soft boy's new confidence. Wouldn't be right to tease him about it. But Ryan knew in his heart they were setting themselves a triple-tough road to hoe by climbing north.
What about JB and the others?
Could be anywhere from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon.
In fact, JB and the others were less than a mile away, on a converging trail. All of them had blasters ready, fingers on triggers. Minutes later, it was Mildred who fired a single shot, with a fatal result. Before Mildred Wyeth had gone into the hospital for minor abdominal surgery, just after Christmas in the year 2000, she'd been one of the United States' leading authorities on cryosurgery. Ironically, it was those precise medical skills that were used to freeze her after the operation went tragically awry. Mildred was to stay clinically frozen for close to 100 years. Apart from being a highly respected doctor, she was also a fine shot with a pistol, winning the individual silver medal in the Olympic Games of 1996 in Atlanta, the last ever Olympic Games. Now in Deathlands, her expertise with a good blaster hadn't deserted her. Mildred had been briefly in the lead, taking over the point position from JB while he paused to try to wipe his glasses clear of the interminable rain. She held the butt of her revolver steady, index finger tucked in close to the trigger. Dean had moved in second, right on her heels, with Doc helping Christina over the rougher parts of the mud-slick trail. JB now was next to last, with Jack bringing up the rear. Mildred was momentarily happy. She relished the kind of high adrenaline excitement of going out at the front of a patrol through dark forest, with a certain knowledge that there were some seriously evil people close by. The hideously mutilated corpse that they'd found